Good morning to you. Welcome in to today's program. I'm joined in studio by Johan Verbruggen. Did I get that right now? Did I?
You did.
Did I?
I know it sounds. I'm from Uchtarair. Not that the name implies it, but
you're from Uchtarair, born, bred, and reared. You said to be coming in. Yeah. You're a solicitor, and you specialise in medical negligence, but. You specialised in this field, and we're looking at audio failings indeed in the RT programme recently, but you specialised in this field because you yourself were the victim of medical negligence.
Yes, indeed it was. I was delivered in Galway University Hospital back in 1989. My mother is a type 1 diabetic, and diabetic mothers tend to have large babies compared to non-diabetic mothers. And also my brother, who's 2 years older than me, he got caught on the way out when he was being delivered at the shoulder. And he was only 8 pounds. I was 11 pounds and a month premature.
By
reason of mum being diabetic, and the doctor would have been aware that my brother got caught at 8 pounds. But rather than do a cesarean section, he just applied the forceps and pulled, and all the nerves in my right arm are more or less paralysed.
So your right arm does not function?
Not anywhere near as much as a normal arm would. No, I wouldn't have much flexion or abduction or.
What has that done for you through life? I mean, can you write with your left hand then?
Yeah, I had to learn to use my left arm. I had to switch dominance, so I had a stammer for a while. Got over that, hopefully. I wasn't able to play Gaelic football or anything like that at a competitive level. I suppose it hasn't held me back. I'm working as a medical negligence solicitor, so it's a little vocational for me to be doing something.
But you know the feeling of being wronged?
I do indeed, I know that it's important to get recognition of the wrong, and if you have been injured, to have someone answer for it, that's what we tried to do.
Yeah, I think, to be quite honest, I know we looked at the cervical, and I've had many of your colleagues on to me indeed about wanting to come on about whole medical negligence and cervical cancer and that screening and that whole situation has brought it to the fore again. But I think we're going to see an awful lot more of it. And we were just talking off air there about the whole audiology failings.
Yes.
I mean, RT did a programme on this one, and you think it's going to get worse before it gets better?
Well, I do, because the last Thursday's RTAE Investigates spoke of a review of a single audiologist who a paediatric audiologist, that's a healthcare professional who treats and assesses children with hearing disorders. This audiologist was operating out of Mayo and Roscommon for 10 years. The report, as RT Investigates got it, only covers 2011-2015, so that's 4 years of this audiologist's work that's been reviewed by the HSE. Yet there's 6 years unaccounted for, and also the HSE couldn't guarantee that this audiologist only operated out of Mayo and Roscommon, and he or she could have operated out of, for example, Galway. It's on our doorstep, or other counties, so there's perhaps more cases that we haven't heard of.
So the long-term effect then on the young person
could be
another Johan.
It could be someone who, a child who has lost some hearing or total hearing, and it could have been preventable. So for mothers out there, or fathers whose child has been in for treatment, and if they are perhaps a little concerned about the standard of that treatment for their child's hearing, they should perhaps get in touch with someone such as ourselves to investigate it.
And when it comes to medical negligence, would most of the cases that you and your colleagues in Galway City and County would take, would they be against the HSE?
They would be, well, the HSE in the main, yes, because the HSE would have responsibility for Galway University Hospital, Mayo, all the university hospitals.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, there are the other hospitals that aren't included, such as the Galway Clinic and, you know, any hospital that people get treated
at. But do the shutters go fairly well up from a HSE point of view once you initiate a process?
Well, we find in our work, yes, that there would be there wouldn't be the open disclosure that we heard so much about when Vicky Phelan's case came to the fore. This telling the patient what has happened and coming to them and letting them know that there's been an adverse incident that affects them. We have to do an awful lot of digging to get even the most basic questions answered before we can move on to the more complex matters.
And how do they deal with the whole confidentiality? Because the patient-doctor confidentiality, how do they deal with all of that?
Well, if a person was to come into our office, we can uplift their records under the Freedom of Information Act, obviously with their authority. The records would come to us, and then we would assess them. We would go through the records with the client, and then if there's something there that is kind of screaming at us that there is some negligence, we would investigate it and engage with an expert to
But we saw Johan with the Vicky Phelan case. I mean, she was on the radio, she was on the Late Late Show, she was everywhere telling her story, and the case was still going against, you know, they were still defending the case.
They were, and she was called on.
Yeah, the Taoiseach was apologised, the Minister for Health apologised, and yet the State Board, with responsibility for settling this, were going defending full swing.
Yes, and I mean, that's the thing, there's no guarantee that they'll be forthcoming with information, and you won't necessarily get an apology, such as Vicky Phelan has, and the HSE has said they'll apologise to the children failed by this audiologist, but my parents never got an apology for how I was delivered, even though there was blatant negligence in that case. So it's you're not guaranteed it, but we fight to get that, and we fight for answers, and that's the best we can do and hope for against the HSE.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose it is a long road for people, and sorry, it's your trade, it's what puts food on the table for you, but it is a long road.
It is, it's getting shorter. Both sides are working to try and shorten the length of time it takes for a case to settle. They're introducing new measures to kind of have, you know, exchanges of information at an early stage, and steps are being put in place, but they haven't been put in place yet.
Do you know, with the forgive me now for my phrasology, but you know the whole claim situation when it comes to road accidents and the Personal Injuries Board,
yes,
and that is there something similar there when it comes to HSE and health matters?
Well, it's been muted that a medical injuries board could perhaps be created, but the complexity of medical cases is just one obstacle that would have to be overcome. Also, I think families would find it very hard to trust an independent Irish medical expert to assess the injuries and the cause of the injuries when they've already been failed by an Irish doctor in the Irish health system. So that's why.
But all doctors are not the same, though.
They're not. And it's.
Well, we see some brave doctors that come out.
We do, but they're in the minority, and it's a chance that the family would consider. They would consider taking a chance by trusting such a system.
Come back to the whole audiology situation now, though. If it's a thing that somebody feels that they've been hard done by, can they go back to the HSE and say, "I'm going to seek legal advice unless you come clean and tell me that something was missed in my audiology test with my daughter or my son, and you rectify it straight away"?
Yes, and the problem here is that the report hasn't been released to those families yet, and the HSE that said that they'll reveal the details of the report. The report itself must be given to those families so that they can take it to their GP and understand its contents, or to the consultant that they're under at the time, and from there they can take it forward. And if the HSE isn't being open with them, they should definitely go to a solicitor, because they can lend a hand in getting access to those documents.
But surely the HSE have got to know how many patients and who and when and what time and the outcome that this professional saw in that period of time.
Oh yes, I'd say they do. I mean,
they have to know. The records have got to be there, Johan.
I'd imagine they do, yes. And the sooner that that's released, the better, because clarification is what's sought at the moment from those families. And for anyone out there who feels that they could be part of the wider problem, it would be very hard to sit easy until you have that clarification that your child is or is not one of those failed children.
Mm. Listen, thanks for popping into us today. You're with Callan and Tansy, indeed, solicitors. But there are many, as I said here, Johan Verbruggen, there's many of specialists in this field now in Galway as well. So there is. I mean, it's a growing field.
It is. We've been doing it for over 30 years collectively, and we've offices in Sligo and Ballina and Boyle and Galway, and we've just recently opened up Merton's Road in Galway. And I imagine that because of the amount of negligence that we do see in the health system, I don't think there'll be any.
I don't think you'll be unemployed soon.
I don't think so, no.
All right, listen, you're a fine young man, and a credit indeed to yourself and your family. But thank you indeed for joining us today. Again, Johan Verbruggen joining us in the studio. Quick commercial break. We're looking at mindfulness next.
Sound of Galway.